Actually, our next presentation will be presented by myself, Philip Roberts, but the title is Potential Interaction of Thrips Management Programs and Pre-Herbicides in Cotton. First, I would like to recognize the co-authors. The data presented in this presentation is a result of the Southeastern Working Group. We've got Ames Herbert from Virginia Tech assisted with this, Jeremy Green and from Clemson, Tim Reed and Ron Smith from Auburn, and then Mike Taves and Stanley Culpepper from Georgia. But would like to share, this is just part of a regional project, or one of our objectives is to look at the potential interactions of herbicide use and thrips management. I think all of us are very familiar with thrips, all the entomologists in the room. But very predictable pest in the southeast. You're familiar with the damage. One of the things we do see is a very consistent yield response to management. Most of our growers are using the neonic seed treatments, either imidacloprid or thimethoxam. We do have some other options, such as in-furrow sprays of imidacloprid or acephate. But again, the industry standard, at least in most of the southeast, are these neonic seed treatments. Now, one of the reasons we're even looking at this potential interaction and is due to Palmer amaranth. Everyone is familiar with Palmer amaranth or pigweed, glyphosate-resistant pigweed, but that really changed our production system. And we believe that it may have changed some of our challenges in which we deal with thrips on seedling cotton. Number one, at least in Georgia, or especially in Georgia, we made a very big transition from a reduced tillage production system to a conventional tillage system. Now, we know from a lot of different trials and studies over the years, we are going to experience higher thrips pressure in these conventional tilled systems. Now, another change that has been made across the southeast and across the belt where pigweeds are present is we've had a significant increase in the use of both pre-emergent and post-emergence residual herbicides. Now, when we use these residual-type products, we do have the potential for stress on seedlings, which could impact growth or cause seedlings to grow off slower. Now, at least our thoughts are is when you have a slow-growing seedling, whether it's from stress from a herbicide or stress from cool temperatures or whatever that stress is, when that seedling is not growing rapidly, your damage potential for thrips is higher. And we also know when a seedling is growth is slowed, we're going to extend that window of vulnerability to thrips. In many states, we talk about thrips reaching the four-leaf stage before it's relatively safe from thrips injury. But if you have a slow-developing seedling, you can extend that window of susceptibility. Now, there's no question that the value of pre-emergent herbicides, you know, we can't grow cotton in Georgia without pre-emergent herbicides. You just look at the picture on the left versus the picture on the right. The only difference in those herbicide programs is use of a pre-emergent herbicide. So we're going to use pre-emergent herbicides for the foreseeable future, even with the new technologies. Now, I have a colleague in Georgia. And he told me I could quote him on this, so I have. But again, just really want to emphasize that we're in a world where we're going to use pre-emergent herbicides, and that's just part of our production system. So our objective or our hypothesis when we are looking at this potential interaction is if you have a specific stress or multiple stressors, we create a high-risk environment for yield loss associated with thrips injury. And again, what we're trying to look at is the stress or the potential stress from these pre-emergent herbicides and how that impacts the crop's response to thrips management. So in the last 2 years, 2013, 2014, we had trials conducted in Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, and Virginia. We had a factorial design. We had three levels of insecticide treatments. We had no insecticide, or basically fungicide-only seed. We had a commercial seed treatment. We used Evicta. Then we had a Avicta seed treatment plus a foliar application of acephate at the one leaf stage. In terms of our herbicide treatments, we had, again, three levels or different herbicide treatments. We had no pre-emergent herbicide, a standard 1X rate of pre-emergent herbicide, and also a 2X rate of pre-emergent herbicide. We use that high rate of herbicide to ensure or try to enhance our odds of having at least some herbicide stress in some of our treatments. So we had 11 total trials. The last 2 years have been kind of different in terms of thrips, in terms of trying to fit our trials to this our heavy thrips populations. Our dispersal patterns, migration patterns have been a little different the last couple of years, so we actually missed thrips populations or didn't achieve significant levels of thrips populations in about half the trials. So what I'm going to present today is a summary of trials where we had economic levels of thrips. So 6 of the 11 trials we had good thrips populations. We took a lot of different data, but I'm going to focus on visual damage ratings as well as yield. This is just a summary of damage ratings for the various treatments. What I've done, we make damage ratings based on a scale of 0 or 1 to 5. Anything greater than a 3, the entomologist would consider thrips control to be unacceptable for that treatment. What I've done here is highlighted trials in orange where the damage rating was unacceptable. And you can see in 2013, we had significant damage in Alabama, Georgia, as well as Virginia, but we had relatively light thrips injury in South Carolina. So we're just going to use 3 of those trials in the summary. If we look at 2014, again, we had 3 of those 6 trials where we had relatively low thrips injury. So we'll focus on a trial in Prattville, Alabama, Georgia, and then one also in Virginia. So we're only looking at the trials where we had significant thrips injury, unacceptable thrips injury, at least in our untreated plots. So what I'm showing is not a lot of statistics today. It's more of just a summary. We're going to have to do some in-depth analysis on this, but I think the story is pretty clear in terms of trends that we'll observe. Just to set this particular slide up, what these are mean damage ratings in those 6 trials where we had moderate to high thrips pressure. The group of 3 bars on the left are where no pre-emergent herbicides were used. The group of 3 bars in the center were our standard 1X rate of pre-emergence, and the group of 3 bars on the right is where we had the 2X rate of pre-emergent herbicides. The blue bars represented untreated seed or fungicide only. The red bars are our seed treatment alone. And the yellow bars are our seed treatment where we made, or green bars on the screen, seed treatment where we made a foliar spray of acephate. I think it's very clear as we increased our level of thrips management, damage ratings tended to go down. Regardless of which herbicide system you used. Now the interesting thing, the dotted line right there at 3, anything above that line would be termed unacceptable. And it's interesting, if you look where we use no pre-emergent herbicide, on average, the seed treatment provided acceptable control. But if we move over to where we used a pre-emergent herbicide, the seed treatment alone had a damage rating, a mean rating of 3.5, which would have been unacceptable. However, when we made the foliar spray of acephate to the seed treatment, we became acceptable again. Now, where we had excessive stress with that 2X rate of herbicide, our thrips control was unacceptable for any of the thrips management programs we looked at. But another thing you'll notice, if you just pick any bar, any thrips treatment, whether it's the untreated seed treatment or the seed treatment plus a foliar spray of Orthene, as your herbicide rates went up or stress was increased, our damage ratings were also increased. And I'm just illustrating this a little easier to see. I'm showing the untreated damage ratings on the far left in the blue bars for no pre-emergence, a 1X and a 2X rate of pre-emergence. But again, you can see as the stress from the herbicide increased, our thrips damage ratings increased. Here's just some pictures from Dr. Ames Herbert's trial in Virginia in 2013. And again, he's kind of got this set up in a checkerboard pattern, but I think it very well mirrors what I was illustrating to you in the damage ratings. A little difficult to see. This is a trial from Georgia in 2014. But again, if you'll look at where we increased our level of thrips management, it really improved at least plant health and plant growth, especially when we're observing stress from the herbicides. Now, I do want to spend the last couple minutes talking about yield data. And thrips are a pretty tough pest to work with on cotton. A lot of times it's hard for us to show differences in yields. But if you look at these bars and the way they're set up, they look very similar. The same trends are occurring of where I showed the damage rating. So we have, it appears we have a very tight correlation with yield response in terms of our thrips damage ratings. Again, just to look at a couple things, in all systems, we need to do something at planting for thrips. The red bar, where the seed treatment alone, he's given us a very consistent response. As you see, the addition of the foliar spray to the seed treatment, that difference appears to increase as the herbicide rates were increased. I believe the next slide will show that a little clearer and maybe a little confusing at first, but what I'm illustrating here is actually the percent yield response of either a seed treatment or a seed treatment plus acephate to the untreated. For example, the bars on the left, the blue bar, which is a seed treatment, we saw a 15% increase in yield versus the untreated. The red bar, seed treatment plus acephate, we observed an 18% yield response versus the untreated. That's when no pre-emergent herbicide was used. But as you can see, as we come to the right, the difference between the seed treatment alone and the seed treatment plus acephate becomes greater. And what that tells me is when you have stress from these herbicides, you need to be sure that you're managing thrips appropriately because the potential yield loss could be much more greater. Just another way to look at this and just to let you know that in some of these trials, I don't think we're going to pick up interactions between herbicide and thrips management. But there are a couple there, like Alabama in 2013, Georgia in 2014, where the slope of the difference in yield response with the seed treatment with and without the foliar spray become very steep as that stress level from the herbicide was increased. All right, running low on time, but just last slide in summary. Thrips are a yield-limiting pest, no question about that. We do live in a world where we will be using pre-emergent herbicides. In some situations, we may encounter stress if we have some bad luck with the weather. These data tend to suggest that thrips injury and yield response to that thrips injury tends to be, when we use a more aggressive thrips management, tended to increase more as stress from the pre-emergent herbicides increased. Now, one question we as entomologists ask ourselves is, do we really know how to differentiate herbicide injury or stress and thrips injury? And maybe that's a question for another day, but I think the take-home message I hope we have, or what I would like to leave our growers and consultants with, is if we have a situation where we have stress, whether that's cool temperatures or whether that's from a herbicide or whatever that stress factor is, we need to be sure to monitor thrips closely and react in a very timely basis if we do encounter threshold populations. With that, I'm going to stop, and I think we have time for one or two questions, perhaps. Yes. Question. Based on these data I showed, I would say absolutely. The question was Assafate justified in these trials? Based on the yield data, yes. I don't think there's any question, you know. Where we didn't use a pre-emergent herbicide, the difference in yield was only about 3% between the Assafate versus seed treatment alone. It went to 7% when we used a pre-emergent herbicide, but it went to over 20% when we had stress. So, one final question. The pre-emergent herbicide was basically the local standard for a given state. Fairly typical use rates in Georgia. We use Prowl and Reflex. But that was, I don't think the pre-emergent, we're not interested in what the response is. It's the concept, because you can create stress with a lot of different products. But that's what we used in Georgia, because that's just, Reflex is a standard product used in our state. All right, that's it. I'll be around during the break, and if there are any more questions. But we're going to have to move on to our next presentation.